Why don't you get back to throwing guys under the bus?
It really is kind of a microcosm of just how much he struggles in those settings.
He's not good at it. Now, I definitely think that you can be a successful coach in a variety of ways. I think you can be a personality, unlike Belichick. Like, that worked for Bill. I think it can work for other coaches. Like, you see, like, a Dan Campbell press conference or, you know, some of these other guys. Like, I think you can show your personality and still be good.
Yeah.
The problem is when you're losing, like, whatever you're doing when you're winning is the right way to do it. And then whatever you're doing when you're losing looks like the wrong way to do it. And it's hard to kind of spin out of that in any way. And so, yeah, he's been up against it. And you would have thought this would have been one of the things he was comfortable in.
Well, this is what I keep going back to. You can have personality and be a coach and be a successful head coach. And
look at Greg Popovich.
Yeah.
All right, horrible example.
What a fun guy.
Yeah,
Even like Rex Ryan for...
Hey, burnt hot.
For the 20 years going head-to-head with Bill, that's the closest you had to real competition in the division.
2 years.
Until the tail end, I guess, with Josh Allen. That's the closest you had to real competition. Right. And he burned hot, like you said.
Uh-huh.
And there might be a shelf life for it. But Rex did it completely differently and went to back-to-back AFC title games. And that's an example of it can work. I don't know how long it'll work for, but it can work.
I mean, Pete Carroll won a Super Bowl. He was the opposite of Belichick in many ways.
Great one. I mean, Andy Reid, I think, is very different than Bill. Yeah. So there are a lot of different ways to do it. But the problem is you put all your eggs in the personality basket. All your eggs in we're going to relate to the player basket. And none in can he coach? You know, has he ever called plays before? Is he qualified to do it? None of that. You went completely off gut and personality. And it turns out, I don't even think the things you thought he was going to be great at, he's very good at.
No.
He doesn't relate to the players. You know, I'm not sure how bought in the players are. We had heard for weeks and weeks, at least the players haven't checked out. They kind of look like they did against Arizona. They came back from the bye week and they were like, F this. And on top of it, you thought at least he wouldn't be a disaster as the outward-facing PR arm of the organization. And he is miserable at it. It might be the thing he's worst at. That might not be super high on the totem pole when it comes to importance. I want him to be able to coach. I want him to get wins. I want him to have a scheme. I want him to get players to buy in, all these things. But that PR thing every week is it's just embarrassing for him.
I think we were sort of pitched that, you know, different was going to be better, right? Like they were going to work together as a group. They were going to communicate. So different was better, where it's really, no, different is just different. He's like, he's more open, but it's worse because if he puts his foot in his mouth so many times and then he just like comically walks it back the next day. Whereas before, like, I think if you're going to show your personality, just say what you mean what you say, and kind of move on. Like, stand by what you, I would have way more respect for it if you just kind of like stood by things. Cause you're like, all right, that's what he says today. Wait till tomorrow. That's going to change. But this, like, all season long, we've kind of gone back to it because the record's what the record is, and you can put that up.
It's not good.
But it's poor. Yeah. It's one of the worst in the league currently. And you can argue all these different things about how bad the roster is, and that's out of his control. The coordinators are inexperienced, out of his control. Like, there are plenty of excuses you can make for him. But then when it comes back to him, you say, all right, great. What does he do? What's his best thing? Why do you want to keep him? And what most people come back with is, nah, not fair to fire a guy after 1 year. You're like, okay, but is there anything like trending in the right direction? Is there something that he does with the players? Is there something he does with a play calling thing? And that's the tricky thing. I'm all for hiring first year head coaches. Guys have to start somewhere. I don't just want retreads, but when you have nothing to kind of fall back on, that's when it's kind of tough. It's not like he was a genius play caller as a coordinator and just finally got his shot. And you can say, well, this is the guy that schemed up all these things. Like, when Belichick struggled either in Cleveland or in 2000, you could point to, well, that was the genius Giants defensive coordinator. Like, just give him a minute. Like, give him time.
You knew what he did.
Yeah. And, like, even some of these offensive guys, you're like, Kyle Shanahan, they didn't have a great record at first, but they didn't have a great quarterback. And you're like, yeah, he got Matt Ryan an MVP. Like, just give him a chance. I don't know what you point to with Gerard Mayo. Like, I honestly don't. And nobody has said anything other than, well, if you fire him after year one, that's a bad look.
So I think there were a few things people were pointing to as of a week or so ago. And we get into it here on Jones and Keefe. It's a busy Tuesday, a tier Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to do multiple tiers today, Keefe. What
double
do you think
the
of that?
Tier. It's the holiday season. Double the tiers. I'm not going to be in next Tuesday. I don't think any of us are, Christmas Eve. So let's double the tiers.
Okay, so we got Christmas movie tiers coming up.
Hell yeah.
A little over an hour from now at 11:20. We'll do our traditional NFL tiers today.
Yeah, got to do those.
As well at 12:20. So mark that down. Double tier Tuesday as we approach the holiday season. We're going to get to Tommy Curran, at high noon on a Tommy Tuesday. We have Kiefer Madness at 12:45, as we do every Tuesday. And, well, we're expecting a little D'Angelo's today.
Oh, yeah.
On a D'Angelo's Tuesday as well, which means we have a little extra pep in our step. Your phone number, 617-779-7937. You can dial us up there and also text us. Same number. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Follow along on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can watch there. You can chat there. Always a healthy conversation. And watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. So, the main thing you hear, and I want to hear this from you guys on the phones. Why would you keep him? Why would you keep Jerod Mayo? What's keeping him here? What does he do that makes you think he's earned a second year? Again, 617-779-7937. I want to hear those examples.
The reasons?
Yeah. And so
I think I might have one.
I think number one is, you know, coaches deserve a second year, as you said.
Yeah, that's not even mine, though.
I don't think that's a great reason at all, but that's the number one thing you hear, which is nothing about him. That's just, in a vacuum, coaches deserve a second season. So that has nothing to do with him. That's just your general philosophy on coaches, which I personally don't subscribe to, and I don't subscribe to it with him.
Wiggy was giving me the business during the break.
Oh, I heard.
And so he was saying
he almost called in yesterday.
Almost did.
Yeah.
Lost the number, apparently. Yeah. But we said you can call in anytime.
Maybe he texted instead. It's the same number.
So my thing that I keep saying, like a broken record, is I'm so sick of the Dan Campbell comparisons, because Dan Campbell at least finished his first year strong. And so they won 3 games. So they were a horrible team his first year. Of course, he took over whatever Matt Patricia left over. So you could argue that was even worse than what Bill left for Mayo. But anyway, he won 3 games, but they went 3-3 in their final 6. So it was trending upwards going into the offseason. Mm-hmm. And Wiggy's point was they were horrible to start the year. And I'm like, right. They were 0-10 or whatever it was. And then they actually showed life
throughout
and they
the year.
Won
they
some
got better.
Games.
Let me give you another coach who did that.
Mayo's doing it the opposite.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're about to lose 7 straight going into the offseason.
Remember Brian Flores in Miami? We all thought he was going to have one of the worst teams when he started out.
Yeah.
The Patriots, I think with Antonio Brown, destroyed them one of the games early on in the season. It might have been Antonio Brown's first game.
Yeah, he did score a touchdown.
And then
he was done.
Well, then he was
done. I think it was
done.
His only game.
But I'm saying the Patriots just boat raced them. And we thought Miami might have been one of the worst teams in football. By the end of the year, the arrow was pointing up.
Yeah.
And so that's what you want. And so number one, and I already see it in the Twitch chat, continuity, you can't fire a coach after 1 year. Well, fine. Then that's your general philosophy on coaches. That has nothing to do with Mayo. Number two, I think you'd hear a lot, is that, well, Kraft isn't going to fire him because it would be embarrassing to Kraft because he compared it to his wives and he was handpicked 5 years ago and they put it in writing and Kraft just won't do that. Which, again, is really nothing to do with Mayo. That's nothing to do with Mayo. That's about Kraft embarrassing
just
himself.
Just from what you're watching, what you're hearing, how the team plays, how they're reacting, how it looks week 14, 15 versus week 1 and 2, I think it all points negatively to Mayo. But I would also say, like, for all the people that are of the mindset you can't fire a coach after year one, I have 5 quick examples.
Uh-huh.
And 3 of the examples did not get fired after year one. 2 of them did. And ask yourself, who made the right call?
Mm-hmm.
So Josh McDaniels got a second year in Vegas.
Bad call.
Correct. Should have just pulled the plug.
Should have pulled the plug.
It was not working. You set the franchise back.
Before 1 year, yeah.
Matt Patricia got multiple years in Detroit. Glaring mistake. Joe Judge got multiple years with the Giants.
Yep.
They should have cut their losses right away.
Mistake.
Might have sped up the rebuild had they gotten rid of those guys right away. Meanwhile, Urban Meyer, 1-done in Jacksonville. Dumb to hire him, but they did. But then they at least saw it in real time and were like, let's replace this guy, bring in Doug Peterson. I'm not saying Doug Peterson's great, but what they make, 2 years later, they made the playoffs? It looked like Urban Meyer was going to coach Trevor Lawrence right out of football.
Yeah.
And then Doug Peterson came in. So what if they gave him a second year? Just because you have to give guys a second year. Lawrence might be out of the league. And then Steve Wilks, another example, where just 2 years later, they got Cliff Kingsbury the next year, and then they made the playoffs in like 2 years. So I just think those are all examples where Mayo's probably closer to Patricia and Judge and McDaniels. What do they have in common? Than some of these other guys that turned it around after 1 year.